What's up, everybody, and welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's March 3rd. It's Friday, and we got a great guest on the show today, bringing back Kate Constable to talk college basketball, teams she would fade, teams she wants to play on come conference tournament time. Great conversation with her about college basketball. We talk a little bit about the NBA as well. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts, across Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. NBA record lately, we're surging again, 11-4 our last 4 days. We got a free pick at farleybets.com up right now. Check that out. Check me on the BetUS NBA show 3 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, talking free NBA picks there too. And if you're interested in my premium plays, that's where that 11-4 plus 8 units comes up. That's where you get all my plays. Hit me with a DM on either Instagram or Twitter at Farley Betts. I'll get back to you. We'll discuss a plan, and you can get all my plays for a discounted package, a discounted rate to get more money in your bankroll as we near the NBA playoffs and March Madness in college basketball. With that, the great Kate Constable returns to Laying the Points. So let's get to it. All right, we welcome back Kate Constable to the show. Kate, this is your second sitting and showing here on the show, the past 2-3 weeks, but it's very relevant because you continue to win in college basketball. Kate, give us an update on this college basketball record sometimes when I take your plays or when I notice your plays, I happen to take the plays that you rarely miss, but overall, you've been really good. Tell me about it.
See, Chris, that's like betting 101. If you're going to tell someone, you got to take all of their plays. You can't just be picking and choosing because you might pick all the losers. And that's what you've been doing lately. You've been picking my losers. But February was very good for me, a very profitable month. We went 39-29 for around 11 units. It kind of just felt like things started clicking a little, which was great. Some 3-0 nights, some 0-3 nights, but kind of all evened out and walked away with a good little profit.
You're still focusing on the Big 12 mostly?
Yeah, I like the Big 12.
You like
the Big 10 was my conference forever, and then the Big 12 just kind of stole my heart this year.
Did you play on TCU the other night when they didn't? Was that last night?
No, it was 2 nights ago. I should have. I didn't, and I wanted to. I just got a little scared.
The line was going up and up and up against Texas, and it's one of those things where, like, I think Texas is the better team, but you keep saying that, right? The lines kind of indicate what's going to happen in a lot of these games.
Yeah, the lines can tell you so much more in college basketball than they do in the NBA because, like that one, Texas is the better team. And, yeah, TCU was at home, but when a line's going in favor of the worst team or the worst of the two, that's kind of a little fishy and telling. So those are the kind of games you want to play on. I just unfortunately did not that night.
Did you play on the elite American Jayhawks yesterday? Is that their name? Jayhawks? Hawks? I should know that. I went there.
Yeah, I was going to say that this is in your wheelhouse. Yeah. No, I didn't because I didn't consult you beforehand. I didn't know how to play on them either.
I didn't think they were going to beat Navy. That was crazy.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize they won. I mean, they were like 7.5-point dogs in that game, I think.
I think it closed at 9.
And then they won.
As you know, I've been paying close attention to the esteemed Patriot League.
Yeah.
What I'm finding is, although I won a lot at first, ultimately, it's tough to bet on bad teams. And most of the teams in the Patriot League are pretty bad teams. For example, Lafayette, which is at the bottom of that conference, beat up on Lehigh yesterday, which I like Lehigh. I like the Mountaineers. The Mountain Hawks. You know, I get all these names confused. You know me with names, Kate.
You're the worst with names.
But good to hear about all your success as you continue to handicap college basketball. And March Madness is around the corner, Kate. So let's get into some of these teams, some of these conferences and college basketball before we really approach the heat of March Madness, which is right around the corner. Of course, some of these lower tier conferences already having their tournaments. But there's a few teams that you gave me that you want the audience to know you're probably going to be playing on moving forward. I got here in my notes Marquette, Miami, and Nova, Villanova, to be exact. You start. Why do you like these teams?
Yeah, I mean, Marquette's just very consistent. They've kind of been a dark horse. I mean, no one expected them to be quite as good as they have, but they just keep beating up on teams, and they've got the offense to do it night in and night out. Their defense is where they lack a little bit, but still, I mean, they've got some size where they can battle against teams like UConn and Xavier, Providence, some of those top teams in the Big East, where I think that'll translate well to the tournament. And then their guard play, like, that's kind of the theme across all of these teams, and is good guard play, and you need that come tournament time. So I love Marquette. Shaka Smart obviously has some experience in the tournament, so coaching is going to matter as we get deeper into March as well. I mean, it's mattered all season, but especially during this time. And Villanova, I mean, they're a team in the Big East as well that, I mean, 10-9 in conference play, 16-14 overall. So when you look at that record, that doesn't like necessarily jump out on the page at you. But since Justin Moore has returned, I mean, they've won 6 of their last 7 games, and they're kind of peaking at the right time. They're cruising right now. I could see them winning the Big East tournament, really. I mean, they would be someone that even in that conference tournament that I'll probably look to play on a little too. They're just kind of gelling at the right time, and they've gotten some of their kinks and some of their issues that, you know, kind of hindered them at the start of conference play. That's all been worked out. And then you mentioned Miami too. I love Miami, and I have to be careful because, you know, recency bias, and like, you can't just play on a team because you love watching them or you've had success betting on them in previous matchups. Like, you got to take each game as its own entity. So I've got to be careful with them a little bit, but I just think that their backcourt, Nigel Pack, Isaiah Wong, they're so quick, and they can get hot from outside in like a flash. I forget what game it was, but they started really slow against, who was it? I'm blanking right now. I think Virginia Tech, because they were underdogs in that game. That was the whole home favorite going up against the unranked favorite going up against the ranked road dog. And that's been an extremely profitable trend this year, is to take that home unranked team. But Miami won that game, and that was a slow start for them. But as soon as they turn it on, they can turn the game around within a half. Like, they're never necessarily out of a game. And that's what I like about a team, especially in March or in these tournament settings, is, you know, even if Miami does kind of have a poor half, they're able to turn things around pretty quickly because of how quick they are, how quick their guards are, and their pace of play.
Yeah, maybe it was a good thing that they just blew that game against Florida State.
Yeah, I actually really like that. I was talking to a friend, and he's like, we got to take Miami today. And I'm like, no, let's hold off. Something fishy, something weird is going to happen today, because they've been so hot lately that it was like 17 points or something. I didn't expect them to lose that game. I just didn't think that they were going to win by more than 17, but I kind of like that they lost there.
Yeah, 100%, right? You don't want to go like perfect into the postseason or into conference play necessarily, which is kind of what I see from Marquette. Just skipping back over to the Big East, 10 out of their last 11 games, Kate. Mm-hmm. They're 16-3 or 15-3 in conference play. I just had that pulled up. 16-3 in conference. Only team they lost against really in the past month is UConn. Do you have any fear about UConn? Because, you know, just in the Big East, taking down Marquette, or just their chances in March Madness? Because UConn in stretches this season has looked really good, but then they always kind of fall back down to earth a little bit. Like, who is Marquette's biggest threat to you in the Big East? Maybe it's Villanova.
Yeah, no, I like UConn in the tournament because they were so good in non-conference play. And I know that you're not playing the toughest opponents, but they won every non-conference game to start the season. I don't know if that was 10 or 11, by double digits. And, I mean, they beat Oregon. They beat Alabama when Alabama was ranked pretty high. Iowa State, I mean, Iowa State was really good at that point. They've since dropped off at an incredible rate lately. It's actually incredible how bad they've gotten. But they went through a stretch of, you know, they beat Florida by 30 points. So when you get into conference, like, these guys know each other. They know they've played against each other for years and years. They know like what your offense looks like. They know how you're going to approach them on defense. So teams kind of figure you out in conference play a little bit more. But once you get back into the tournament, it's essentially non-conference play again, where teams aren't as familiar with you. So I have been looking at some of those teams. Arizona is another team like that that was really great during non-conference, struggled a little bit during conference play. So it's some of those teams that still beat, were able to have a couple big wins in that non-conference slate that I'm going to look at to play on, just because you don't have a ton of time on those, the second game of a weekend in the tournament, to necessarily scout game plan against teams as much as you would during conference play, having that familiarity. So yeah, UConn is definitely a team that I'm going to look towards.
Yeah, they stepped up in some big spots, like you mentioned earlier this season. Let me ask you a little bit about Miami again, too, just shifting back over to the ACC. They have a big game coming up, right, against Pitt. Is that tonight?
No, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, against Pitt. Both teams 14-5. So is it? I mean, who wins that game wins the conference? Virginia's above Pittsburgh from what I'm seeing. You know, and obviously they have a conference tournament, right? But you're they get the highest bid, I guess, if they beat Pittsburgh, right? Is that my work?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to double check on that, but I'm almost positive that the winner of this game wins the conference regular season, because if we look back, I think they tie, because Pitt beat Miami earlier this season. So Miami, yeah. If Pitt wins the regular season conference, gets the number one seed. If Miami wins, I think they would share it. And then I don't know where they go for how they seed the tournament, but that is a very big one. I'm probably going to play on Miami there, depending on what that number is. I feel like it's going to be a very short number, maybe Miami -2 or something. And I would likely take that. But I'd also look at an over there, because those are two teams that can score pretty quickly, that play both at very fast pace, and have really good guard play, so they can hit shots on the perimeter. So that's kind of, without doing a whole lot of research quite yet into that game, that's what I'm leaning towards on Saturday.
Yeah, but you're in the boat too, though, where you've been so intensely focused on college basketball in these conferences that at this point, your instinct, I think, is that, right, especially Miami coming off that loss, is something you can trust. That, you know, obviously you back it up by the research, but yeah, that's going to be a huge game. And you read my mind. Where would you set the line on that game for Miami and Pitt, line and total? And what is the highest point total that you would take Miami at?
I know I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, I probably would take Miami at like minus, I probably wouldn't go higher than 5.
Yeah.
But I think being at home, they've lost to Pitt already. They're coming off of a terrible loss. They're at home. Senior night, that's a big spot for them. And then obviously knowing that they can clinch at least a tie in the regular season conference title, like that's a lot on the line there. Total, I would probably think it would open around 155 or so. I might even take that up to like 158. I wouldn't be shocked also if it ended in the ones or low 160s, but.
Yeah, I'm a little shell-shocked by totals, because yesterday I took a few overs, and I do think that there's that angle, you know, just like the NBA, right, when it comes playoff time, and some of these more pivotal games, you know, maybe there's nerves involved, especially if it's a conference tournament, and maybe it's at some different venue. You know, do you look at venues, and say totals in that venue, like in how teams historically perform? I know that's getting pretty deep. Sometimes I think handicappers can get a little too deep into that, actually. You know, like historically, right? Because a good offensive team typically does well wherever they play. Yeah. But is there any thought process on that? Like, do you think totals are a little lower, or teams are just a little more nervous, or defense is a little more intense in these spots, or teams like Pittsburgh and Miami that have been predicated by high-paced, potent offenses, does that usually stick?
No, I think that usually sticks. When looking at venues, I more so look towards the side, and like Duke plays terrible at NC State. Texas Tech's a hard place to play at. Kansas State is a hard place to play at. So in those situations, I more go, okay, I lean towards the home team here, either giving or taking points. more so because of the environment. But in terms of total, I haven't really gone much with that angle this year. And I think when you're looking at a team like teams like Miami and Pitt that are both pretty predicated on a faster pace, I'm not sure venue really matters for me there. It's definitely something to consider. It's just not something that I consider in my handicapping.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, recency bias for me, just based off a few games yesterday. But I will say the games that I took overs in were in those lower tier conference tournaments. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe those teams aren't built quite the same as a Miami or like a, you know, or a Marquette. Let's move to some teams that you want to fade come tournament time. And you could talk about conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament after that. But you gave me Purdue and North Carolina. I know Purdue has been one of the best teams in the country this season. And I know North Carolina now, they've won their last three games. I don't know all the ins and outs of what goes into it. But I know that North Carolina needs to keep on winning and surging, right, to have a spot in the postseason, in March Madness, the NCAA tournament. So why are you looking to fade the old Tar Heels? Aren't they playing better?
They're playing better, and everyone's like jumping on them as like this is the same storyline, the same script as what happened last season, because they were like a 7 or 8 seed in the tournament last season. Like, they were not supposed to win or at least go to the championship last year. But I mean, they've won lately, and looked a little bit better. They just don't have. I don't think they have an identity, and I don't think that they
Ooh, wait a second. Let me interrupt you. I talked a lot about identity in the NFL last season. I think this is a huge thing in sports that people don't think about. What do you mean? I think you're talking about a similar thing here. What do you mean when you talk about identity?
Well, like, night in and night out, they're not consistent. So who are you? Like, are you a team that's going to play hard each night? Or are you going to a team that's going to rely on one player and usually Armando Bacot? Are you a team that's going to, you know, play a full 48 minutes? Are you buying in? Are you, you know, trusting each other? Are you on the same page as your coach? Like, I talked to someone that's very close with the North Carolina program the other day, and he said that is the team's biggest issue. They don't have an identity. They don't trust each other. The coaching staff cannot get through to them. They don't listen. It's kind of every man for themselves right now. So when you have all of those factors going on, heading into a tournament, like, you're not just going to make a run because you made a run last season. That's not happening. So if North Carolina makes the tournament, which I think they should based on, you know, winning these last couple of games, I think they maybe win one game, get bounced in the second round. I don't know. I don't think they make it to the second weekend for sure.
Or maybe they're ripe for an upset. Come the tournament. Are they gonna get smoked by Duke tomorrow?
I kind of think
so. They are at home.
Yeah. I don't know how to play on this game quite yet. I'm still considering all my angles, but I'd likely take Duke in this one. The only thing is that Duke hasn't been very good on the road, but they have been better lately. And Duke is a team early in the season, you know, with a new coach. Some new players, some big freshmen coming in. They didn't have an identity during the season. I think they've started to gather that later in the season and are playing as a more cohesive unit. And that's kind of led to some of their success as of late. So they're a team that I actually would look to play on. You just, when you have the Duke North Carolina rivalry factor in it, you got to look at that game a little bit differently than some of the others.
Okay. What about the Boilermakers of Purdue?
The Boilermakers, I mean, they have Zach Edey. He's great. He's fantastic. Likely going to be player of the year, probably Big Ten player of the year, and well-deserved. But their guard play, they're freshmen. Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith, they're fine. But they've struggled down the stretch, and they've struggled against good teams in the Big Ten. They've lost twice to Indiana. They lost to Northwestern. They lost to Maryland at Maryland. I mean, Maryland is a tough place to play as well. But they've beaten all the bottom teams. I mean, Minnesota, Michigan, when Michigan wasn't all that great. Penn State, they lost to Rutgers once. And then barely escaped at Wisconsin yesterday. Like, Wisconsin's terrible. They probably won't make the tournament. So you're not able to win on the road, and you're not able to win against good teams that have kind of finally figured you out. And as the season's gone on, teams have figured out how to defend Edey and that offense. and Purdue hasn't adjusted all that well to it. So Matt Painter also has a history of like not really performing all that great in the tournament or making a deep, deep run. So there's a lot of hype around him. I'm just not sure I believe it quite yet.
Well, like what you said in a few regards, you know, it's like with the Tar Heels and with Purdue, it's not just about, right, like it's not even just about wins or like offensive efficiency or how a team's look. It's like how did they get there? How did they make it efficient, right? And so and what you spoke about with North Carolina makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they've had success recently, but there's no consistency like behaviorally in, you know, how they're doing that, right? It's it's kind of all over the place. And then a team like Purdue showing up in some spots, not so much. I mean, when they went to Maryland, they got their asses kicked. Maryland is a growing team, right? Like they've vastly improved this season, I would say. But that's not a team, if you're one of the elites of the Big Ten, that you should get your ass handed to you just because you're on the road, right? So I think those two teams are on a lot of people's radars as teams to play on. Yeah. So I think that you're going to give them something to think about. It's really like a lot of things you said there. Now, how about the Big Ten in general? You're going to proceed with caution with those teams?
Yeah, the Big Ten in general, they come tournament time, like who has had a very successful run as of late? What teams? I mean, Michigan a couple years ago when Jordan Poole was on the team, they made a couple buzzer beaters to go deep the Franz Wagner years. Iowa is extremely disappointing, and I'm an Iowa grad, so they were supposed to be a Final Four team last year. They lost in the first round. So the Big Ten kind of comes in with its chest puffed up a little bit, thinking that they're all that, and it just doesn't translate. I don't know why, if maybe the Big Ten style of play doesn't work against other teams in other conferences that play a different style, but I'm just going to be very cautious of those teams. The one team of Big Ten teams that I am going to probably play on is Northwestern, because they've kind of just been under the radar this year, but they're a team that's been consistently good towards the latter half of conference play. But this is a time where I'm going to look at the last 10 games of the season or so on how a team has been. And Northwestern has surprised me. So they're someone who are likely looking at this as, you know, they're the underdog most of the time against a lot of these teams, or maybe the underappreciated team is a better term. And so maybe they come in with like a little bit more motivation, wanting to prove themselves, or constantly feeling like they're getting disrespected, that type of thing.
Got it. I'm going to look to play. I mean, Maryland is a little bit more of a commodity now, I would say, right? Like people know that Maryland can upset teams. People know how good their defense is. Sounds like Northwestern is like a lesser known version of that.
Yeah.
But it'd be just really cool to see a Maryland or like a Northwestern or an Iowa win the Big Ten. I mean, Iowa's looked really good recently, right? I played against them when they faced Indiana, I think, and that didn't go my way.
Yeah, they just crushed Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
ever since the Franz stare down.
What is that all about? I mean, some of these college coaches, I feel like they can do things in sports that not a lot of coaches can do. Like they're treated like, you know, gods at some of these programs. But how long was that stare down with the ref? Like, I mean,
should have gotten tossed or teed up or something. I was listening to the Field of 68, which is a really great college basketball podcast. So if anyone wants to learn more, go listen to them. Sorry, Chris, plugging another podcast on your podcast.
I mean, you're the one speaking to college basketball here. So, here first, there second.
Yes, exactly. Fran was on it the other day and they asked him about it. And he said, well, I knew if I opened my mouth that I would get teed up, so I couldn't say anything, but I still wanted him to know that I was there. But like, that's just like, he's just like trying to intimidate. That's not, this is college basketball. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Fran's a nutcase.
And these are like 18 to 21 year old kids, you know, it's like not a great example to set, but I guess it's working for now, but you know, some tough teams in the Big Ten are going to punch back, and certainly in the tournament.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where they flail. I know we both got to run in a few minutes. So speaking of a hot commodity, Kate, you're all over the place. You're on BetQL all the time. Can you tell the audience about your BetQL shows? And then if we have time, because I know we want to go here in a few minutes, we can cover one NBA game or so. But where are you these days? It's that main, the main show on BetQL, right?
Yes. If this pod gets up today, I'm hosting You Better You Bet on the BetQL network this afternoon. That's from 3 to 7.
It will be up today.
Eastern, perfect. So head over to BetQL.com and you can listen there. I also host the Saturday BetQLU in the Action College Basketball Show. That is from also, that's from 4 to 7 Eastern. I'm Central, so I get mixed up with my time zones. But 4 to 7 Eastern, we live bet games, talk about them as they're going on. It's a fun, very relaxed show. And then you can find me on Twitter, TikTok, social media, all that good jazz, at Kate Constable. So plenty of places.
Yeah, the, you know, the cool thing about like Central time and Eastern Standard is really all you have to do is just add one to every.
Yeah, I got that. Thank you, Chris.
There's a lot.
My math skills are not great.
There's a lot of math in college basketball, I know. So, you know, you're probably just exhausted from all that.
I am. Yeah, that's it.
So let's talk about one NBA game at least. You and I both a little perplexed, right? Because this line, and let me check on it now live on laying the points, because this game between the Suns and the Bulls, it keeps on going down in the Bulls' favor. The Suns were up to 6-point favorites. That's something you let me know because I had a crazy day yesterday. I thought my wife was going to have the kid. Didn't happen, but I didn't see this line movement. Now it's down to 3.5 in favor of the Suns on the road. And the 3.5, the plus 3.5, that is, for the Bulls is juiced. I wonder if this is indicating somebody's sitting out, but I still want to play on the Suns in this spot because if you look at who the Bulls have beaten recently, what am I supposed to be impressed that the Bulls beat at home? The Hornets, you know, the I don't know. I just wrote it down in my damn article. But
the Pistons, they barely beat the Pistons the other night. Yeah, the Bulls are not – this is very confusing. I saw this line at Nets. I'm thinking KD. Suns minus 6 yesterday, and I was like, great, I'll take that. And I almost did, thinking that it was only going to go up and I was going to get a worse line. And now here we are down to 3.5. It's very odd. Something's going on. I can't imagine that the Suns don't beat the Bulls, even if Booker or KD is limited or Chris Paul's out or something. Like, their roster is just so much better. So they would have to have multiple players sit today for this to really make sense. But yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think there's a little fake news with the Bulls' top-rated defense recently too, especially in terms of three-point shooting to their opponents. Their opponents are just missing shots, and it's not that they're facing the elite of the NBA. I mean, you look at a team like the Bucks or even the Magic that went into Chicago. They won against the Bulls recently. They had a time with them. Yeah, Suns are a team I want to play on right now. Devin Booker being let loose a little bit with Kevin Durant in the lineup too. You love Devin. You love Devin Booker.
I do.
But he is absolutely going to be having his best days moving forward with Kevin Durant because he is not going to be the guy that defenses are going to be worried about. And that is his role. Like, you know, as much as I've criticized Devin Booker because he's not a true number one, that's obvious. But now he has a true number one on the team. So he can be the guy who spots, shoots like a Ray Allen type. That's who he is. God bless him. Take advantage of it. But I think that's really good for the Suns. But if one of these guys are out, maybe I like it a little bit less. But I took the Suns at minus 4, Kate. So be it. I guess if it.
Well, I guess I should take him at minus 3 then.
Now you're seeing at minus 3.
Oh, I mean 3.5.
Okay. I was going to say, don't scare me anymore.
Yeah, half point. That's a big difference.
That might happen soon because we're seeing juice on the plus 3.5. Kate, there's always more questions that I want to ask you on the show. I just sent you the email yesterday and said there's like 2 questions I left out that I almost always leave out that I want to ask you just about how you got started, your background. We'll save that for the next show because we got things to do.
Perfect.
I appreciate your expertise in college basketball because I bet it, but I'm not on your level. You're killing it. Keep on killing it. And I'm sure we'll have you back soon because I'm starting a little bit of a routine here, Kate. And I don't hate it.
Yeah. No, we got to make this a regular thing. This is fun. Thank you for having me on.
Check out Kate at BetQL. See you next time, Constable.